Good morning.
How y'all doing? Quick, we want to once again welcome everybody here, whether you're a visitor or just you've come here for the last 4 years. So happy you're here. This has been such a beautiful journey together. Couple of things we need to move through is one of them. We had some questions. You know that, Brett, someone hold up the bulletin. It's the small card now that's kind of colorful. Hold that up, so right there, perfect. That is our bulletin. We've had some people come through and they're like, no thanks, I'll take the bulletin though. And we're like, no, that is the bulletin. Yeah, but I'd rather have the bulletin. But that's the, we're saving trees. So just know, like, that's our bulletin, and it's not the normal bulletin. It's a lot smaller, but it has everything you need on it. So no, that little colorful sheet, one more time, Armando, wave that thing around. It's so pretty. So pretty. Right there. That is our bulletin. Yeah. Very easy. It's simple. So with that being said, also, we have some new members. I just want to share with you some of these members that have they're here now and their membership. You're part of this church. You're stuck with us. So let me give you a couple of those names. Nicholas, Victoria Castro, Sopira, Karipali, and Jean and Val Oswald. Yes. Give them a hand. We're so glad you are here with us weekly. Now, we've been moving through the series, Our Stories, and we finished last week. It was a lot of fun. My wife and I shared a bunch of personal stuff, and you still love us afterwards. Pretty exciting. And so for the next 3 weeks, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Dan, and myself, we're going to go through some of our favorite parables. We're going to discuss kind of what the meaning of it means, what it means to belong, to accept love, to understand who we are in Christ. We're going to go through those parables together. And so today, I'm going to move through coins, sheep, and the other. And before I do, let me offer a word of prayer. God, we thank you, we praise you that we are here today in community. We thank you for the love, the acceptance, the grace that you've shown us that we are learning to share with one another. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. In our culture, we do something on a pretty regular basis, some of us more than others. And what we do, this is called a transaction. How many of you ever had a little plastic card and you swiped it and you got something in return? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you probably shouldn't have been using it as much. I remember when I was in high school, I remember hearing, like, I can just swipe that and I get free stuff. Yeah, they didn't teach us too well on money management in school. But I remember this card, I remember being able to swipe and you would get whatever you need. And some of us, we don't use the plastic thing, we actually use paper. And some of us in our 80s, we write on that paper and we hand it in checks. Probably half of you don't even know what that is. Good. We call these transactions, and it's what we do in our culture. We have these transactions. We pay for something. In return, we get something else. There's a value. There's goods that go back and forth. And while that is good, I would argue in spirit, in the spiritual world, transaction is not always good. Let me repeat that. Transaction is not always good. It has a dark element to it. For instance, if I buy into the idea that I am inherently bad, I'm evil, someone somewhere ate the wrong produce, and now I'm evil and bad, and there's nothing good in me, if I believe that about myself, then what begins to take place is I begin to believe that something needs to happen in order for me to have value, which means I don't have value. Which means at some point in time, I didn't belong. Do you see where I'm going with that? I remember at an early age, I was taught this. I was taught, you don't belong. Unless, of course, you do certain things. And so I remember, I did everything I could. I remember I would go out of my way to be the very best of the best. I had to do certain things in order for not just God to accept me, but for myself to accept myself, for community to accept me. And I had to do these things in order to have value again. I remember there's this word, atelophobia. And many of us, when we believe that our value and our worth comes from what we do, our belonging comes from what we do, it creates this fear in us. this shame and this guilt. And we go around, and what we do sometimes is we might be tempted to begin looking at other people and saying, I'm held to those things. I'm supposed to do those things to get worth. You're not doing them, right? We call those people in our community here sin sniffers, right? We're really good at finding the people who, oh, you didn't do that thing. You don't belong. You must not have worth. You're not part of us. I grew up in Michigan. I'm going to be going back there next week, actually, to visit. I haven't been there in 7 years back home. But I remember I grew up in this faith community. It was a small one. And I remember all of us, we began to believe that we are a people set apart. And what are we set apart by? What we believe and what we do. And so if you stepped out of what we believe and you started asking some questions, did you fit in? No. You were a rebel. You didn't fit in. You were pushed out. If you didn't do what I think you should be doing, you were pushed out of community. You were told you don't belong. And for some of us in this room, that's a message we heard a lot growing up. And that is a destructive one, and it's left some scars. But that is the message that Jesus spends a lot of time counteracting. In Jesus' time, there was a group of people that we call them the Jews. And the Jewish nation, they were people that kept losing their homeland. And if you are an ancient person, your homeland is what gave you an identity. So whenever you hear in the Gospels them talking about kingdom of heaven, home, all of these concepts, they're talking about their homeland. They want their homeland back. They don't want to be under oppression anymore. But over and over again, they keep falling under oppression. And so the question is, why? You ever hear people talk like this? We're losing a lot of people in church. There's got to be a reason. You know what I think it is? I think it's those young people and their drums. I think it's because they have hay bales in front of their sanctuary. But praise the Lord, it's not in the sanctuary. And they begin pointing. Well, that's the reason. You're the reason. We start talking politics. Ooh. Those liberals, they're the reason. Tree-hugging liberals. What happens to a liberal if a tree falls in the middle of a forest on top of them? Who cares? One less liberal. And it's their fault, right? Everything's their fault, the liberals' fault. Or it's the conservative. Oh, it's the conservative's fault. Look at this and this and this. And we'll point fingers at one another. And it gets really destructive and ugly. But this is what happens to a group of people. When they lose something, we have a tendency to begin drawing lines and saying, you're in, you're out. And when it's all about transaction, it becomes all about what I do or what you do and what you don't do and what I don't do. It's all about what we call works. And so Jesus, he begins talking to these people and saying, look, maybe this whole thing needs to be flipped upside down. And he begins telling a parable. In Jesus' time, there were two groups of people. There were the sinners and there were the righteous. So watch this. The righteous people were the elite. They were the wealthy. They were the religious power. They were in control. And the righteous were pointing the finger at the sinners and saying, you are at fault for us losing our homeland over and over again. It's because you're not doing certain things right. And the sinners, those were the people, the working class, like the shepherds. To be a shepherd was a dirty, disgusting duty, only reserved for those who we would consider unclean. Tax collectors, the sick, the widow, the orphans, the foreigner, all were considered the sinners, and it's your fault we're in this mess. Be very careful when you hear people using this narrative, whether it's in politics, religion, whatever it is, when you hear people beginning to point the finger at one another, know we are headed towards some destruction and some pain. And so Jesus begins to combat that. and he tells a parable in Luke chapter 15. And he says this, to the righteous. To the who?
Righteous.
Five of us. To the righteous, the people who have it together, the ones pointing the finger, he tells these three parables. And it starts with this. Dishonest tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus, but this caused complaints from the righteous, the Jewish religious leaders, the experts on Jewish law, because he was associating with such despicable people, even eating with them. Now understand this. Who cares, right? Go in and out with people, in and out burger. What's the big deal? You just ate a burger. No big deal. But for them, when you sat down and you ate with someone, you were actually sharing a connection. You were saying, I am one with this person. However, what happens when you say, I am one with the problem? You begin to be associated with the problem. You become the issue as well. So, watch this. Jesus begins to then share the first parable. And the parable is the lost sheep. And some of you have heard this before. You saw on the felt board. You see the always in my parents' voice. I hear it as I'm reading it. They were amazing feltists. Can we say feltists? Felt artists. The lost sheep. It goes like this. There were 99 sheep. One of them leaves. It's lost. And so the shepherd says, I will leave the 99. And I'll go and find the one and I'll pick it up. So cute. And I'll walk with it on my shoulders all the way back. How many of you have ever had children and walked around with them on your shoulders? It's a cute story until you like actually do that. Disneyland is horrific when you're carrying 25 pounds on your shoulders. Daddy, isn't this fun? It's great. You're like growing shorter. Growing shorter, yep. He carries the sheep all the way back. Now, understand this. Who's he talking to? The righteous. Not the sheep herders. Think about what that means. That would be like me going up to like the religious good Adventist elder and saying, hey, you know when you're at the strip show and this happens? He'd look at you like, wait, what? Or, how'd you know? Yeah. It'd be like me talking to the person that has just an extravagant amount of things who would never do a lowly work in his life. And this person, it's like when you're shoveling manure at the track. You look at them and say, what? It's because what Jesus is doing here is really fascinating. He's making the elite, the ones who consider themselves righteous because of all the things they're doing and not doing. He's saying, I'm putting you in the place of the person that's lost, the other. Interesting, right? When you are a shepherd and you go out and do this, Jesus is flipping everything upside down. He's putting those people, the righteous, in the shoes of the unrighteous, the sinners, the people like you and me. Let me give you more. He doesn't stop there. He says, when you lose a penny, how many of you have pennies that you just don't know what to do with? They're kind of worthless. They're worthless, aren't they? My children, however, they see great value in these things. They're like, shiny. They'll go out in traffic. Shiny. They'll pick it up. Penny. I'm like, look out. Penny. That's what that was for this culture. The coin that it's referring to has very little value. And yet, the woman looks everywhere for it. And when she finds the thing that society has said is worthless, when she picks it up, there is a celebration. Did the penny do anything? The penny was a penny. Just kind of sat there. It was lost. She found it. The penny has worth. Did she do anything in that moment that gave that penny worth? Not really. The penny already had worth. By picking it up, it's showing and it's declaring to everyone else, this has worth. When the sheep is picked up and carried home, the sheep already had worth. But by the shepherd carrying it home, he is declaring this one has worth. Always had, always will. Has worth. It's a sheep. It did nothing to gain that worth. It always has, it always will. And then there's a story here about the prodigal. And you've heard this story before. This young man says to his father, he's the youngest. He says, Dad, I want my inheritance now. In this culture, if you were to tell this story, they would laugh at you. Say, that's insane. This is obviously a funny story. Because as a young one, the youngest of the family, first of all, you would never ask this. Because when you ask for the inheritance and Dad is still alive, that's like saying this. Hey, Dad, you got some money. Could you just kind of hurry up and die? I'd like to have it now. That boy would have been murdered in that culture. Also know this. Dad is still alive. That means Dad still is picking up. He's building his income. He's building his fortune. When you take it before Dad dies, that means eldest son, who gets the majority, gets less. Do you see where I'm going with this? Israel is blaming a certain group of people because they feel they had less. They get less from them because of these younger sinners, these children who don't fit in, the prodigal. And so Jesus tells the righteous people, says there's a son. He asks for an inheritance. The father gives the son the inheritance. Again, would not have happened. The son takes the inheritance, blows it, and then he's with pigs. If a Jewish person were to handle pigs, they would never be allowed back into community. And yet, this young man decides, I'm going back home. I'm going back home. I'm running back home. And he goes back home. And he's expecting his father to say this. You don't belong. Because that's what a righteous person would do. The righteous person would say, you don't belong. You no longer have worth. You don't fit in. You have not done the things that make you worthy. But what does the father do? You all know the story. Think back on that felt board. What happened? Father brings the son in. Hugs him, much to the elder son's chagrin. Hugs him, brings him back. They have a huge feast that would have fed the entire city, by the way. And the eldest son does what? It's the best angry face I can make. The eldest son does what the righteous are doing during that time period. There is a party, there is a blessing happening, and they are not a part of it. And the one who is lost, who begins to understand the virtue, the value they already have, there's a party. Some of us, we are the elite. We think we have it together, or we think we need to do all these things in order to find value and worth and belonging. For some of us, we feel we don't measure up and we just crucify ourselves. The elite realize very quickly they don't measure up, and so they turn on others. And in the midst of the blessing, in the midst of the celebration, the elite sit in their own hell and they miss it. While the unclean, the broken, the one that realizes its worth. Because the father said, I love you. Everything I have is yours. Always have loved you. And everything I have, it's yours. That's when miraculous happens. That's when growth happens. When you understand your worth, you can then begin experiencing healing. When you look at everyone else's brokenness, you will experience brokenness. One of my friends showed me this verse a couple years ago, and I thought, how funny is this? I've never seen this before. Let me share it with you. Proverbs 24:16. For the righteous fall seven times. They rise again. But the wicked fall when calamity strikes. Watch me now. How many times do the righteous fall? Seven times. The idea here of seven is it's complete. It happens over and over and over again. We stumble, we fall, we crawl, and we what? We get back up again. We get back up again. The wicked who are focused on doing all the right things, belonging, the wicked who are pointing the fingers and saying, you don't belong. See, here's the problem. When you are the sin sniffer and you're pointing the finger at everybody else, when you think your value comes from what you do, when you fall, what happens? It's painful, isn't it? Your pride's at fault now, isn't it? When you fall, that is painful. All of us are great at being the authority and poking fun at everybody else. But when it falls on us and we're the authority, that's painful. And it's really hard to get back up. But here's the beauty. The righteous, we fall, we stumble. But the beauty is we have a Savior who in the midst of the fall, in the midst of the brokenness, comes over, embraces us and says, I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. I am always with you. You did nothing to deserve this because you've always had it. You've always had my love. You've always had my blessing. You've always been mine. And all I have is yours. And all the righteous do is after we fall, we just stand back up again. And when the sheep stands back up again, it's easily found. When the prodigal just turns and begins to walk back home, he's easily found. And it's not the walking that saved or gave the prodigal value. It was the shepherd. It was the father making the declaration. You are of great value. You're of great worth. Nothing you've done or didn't do makes you deserving or undeserving of it. It's a gift. And everything I have, God says, is yours. Everything. And so today, if you are one of those people who find yourself over and over again feeling like I just don't measure up, I want you to know this today. You've always measured up. You've always been of great worth. And everything God has always been yours. Some of us just need to allow that declaration to be said over us. And if you are the person who has been pointing the finger and you've gotten so caught up in the cycle of attempting to do everything you can and pointing the finger at everyone else who's not, I know you and you are exhausted right now. You are fighting against the very way you created to live. May you move away from that elder son life back to the righteous who when they fall, they get back up again. And they allow the loving father to declare, you are worthy and everything I have is yours. The good father says, I love you. You are of great value. Nothing you've done or haven't done has taken that value away. You belong. And everything I have is yours. May God bless you today.